It's MLB draft season, and the Locked On MLB Prospects podcast is covering every future star of Major League Baseball. Host Aram Layton brings you player interviews and farm system breakdowns every day. Subscribe to the Locked On MLB Prospects podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts, and please enjoy today's episode of Locked On Pirates.
You are Locked On Pirates, your daily Pittsburgh Pirates podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's going on, everybody, and welcome back to Locked On Pirates today on Monday, July 12th. I hope you all had a fabulous weekend, and I hope you all tuned into the draft yesterday. As you obviously know, what me and Mr. Gary Morgan are going to be talking about today, the Pirates select Louisville catcher Henry Davis, number one overall. Shocking to like a good number of the people in media that did mock drafts. Their mock drafts went down the drain pretty quick. But the Pittsburgh Pirates opt to go the college catcher, some calling him the best defender and the best hitter in the draft, but we will wait and see. But Gary, how are you today? How are you feeling about it?
I'm great, man. Pretty happy about it, to be honest.
Yeah, same, actually. I just really didn't think they would do it. On Friday, I predicted Marcelo Meyer was the pick. I thought that's what they were going to do. I think 97% of media thought that that was what they were going to do. And then realistically, when the draft started kicking off a little bit, a lot of those shortstops started to fall, which made me think about some things. But Henry Davis, tell people about Henry Davis that they might not know. Like, tell them about what they might not know about Henry Davis.
I don't know if there's anything at this point that they might not know, because this stuff gets covered really quickly. But
yeah,
I can tell you why I think they went that route.
Yeah, that's cool too.
A lot of jaded people are going to say it's because of money, but they might have a little bit of savings there. But realistically, I think they picked the guy that has the highest basement. Yep. It's a guy that's safe. He's going to be a good player. It's just he has less chance to be a bust than I think either of the high school shortstops did, any three of them, actually. And there's a lot of question marks about Leiter being only 6 foot.
Yeah. And
I think that's something that kind of scared them away. Plus, all accounts, he was asking for a little bit over slot, and I definitely don't think the Pirates were interested in that.
Yeah, and so, then Henry Davis in his collegiate career, by the way, first year, he didn't really hit the baseball too well. The following 2 years in 2020 and 2021, especially this past year, he slashed 370, 482, and 663. And this is coming into the Pirate system already with a 70 out of 80 graded arm. So he has the bat now from what they see. And I think I heard Ben Cherington talk about that was a big reason why they took him, is because they saw that his bat was coming along with his defensive ability already.
The second year in a row they've gotten the perceived best college bat available.
Oh, yeah. And I was joking yesterday. I said, can you imagine an infield of Henry Davis, Mason Martin, Nick Gonzalez, O'Neill Cruz, and Key Brian Hayes, if it all works out that way? Be a pretty fun infield for all intents and purposes.
Yeah, could be. I mean, I don't like to get into that because, I mean, you're leaving out like Theo Verpiguero and like,
yeah, you're leaving out a lot. I'm leaving out a lot.
There's a lot of things that'll take place on the way there, but I think they took a safe pick here. I think he's going to be good. His bat plays, even if he has to transition from catcher. His arm plays, even if he has to transition from catcher. The bat has really come along. It's striking how few strikeouts he's had with kind of power production and average he's put up. The second year in a row that they've gone for the best available college bat. I think there's a theme there.
Yeah, and I mean, it's not a bad theme because realistically, as you mentioned, a lot of times with Ben Cherington as well, even in his history of how he's drafted with other teams, from what I can see, he definitely likes to go with those like high floor sometimes maybe lower ceiling guys because he knows what he's getting out of it rather than taking the shot with the number one pick, by the way, on a kid like Marcelo Meyer or Jordan Lawler, who could pan out and end up being nothing over the course of 4 or 5 years.
Could, or they could be, you know, spectacular.
Yeah.
But the point is, when you're picking 1-1 and you know you can't make a mistake, sometimes you might want to hedge your bet a little bit on, I can only screw up this much. And I think that's what Henry Davis is.
Yeah, and I mean, the other part of it, too, is we desperately, if he does stay a catcher, the Pirates desperately needed another catching prospect in the system. I know some people don't really talk about the need for it, like the need in the draft at 1-1, but the Pirates definitely needed a catching prospect in the system. I believe the only really notable one at the moment would even be Eddie Rodriguez, and he might not even end up being a catcher.
Yeah, I mean, it's possible, really, for any of these guys to transition out of catching it. It's actually not that easy to get through an entire minor league career as a catcher. I mean, and if you do, not be completely beat to death by the time you get to Major League Baseball, it's a feat. And I think we should also not discount that the game itself is changing. So, most of the scouting reports on Henry Davis were based on, you know, his defensive struggles as he was growing. The updated scouting reports, they showed an awful lot of progression in his defensive game. And that stuff wasn't really reflected early on. And over the last couple of weeks, you started seeing him creep up the board to where he was top three for just about everybody. So, you know, hindsight probably shouldn't have shocked us all that much. I personally thought they would go Meyer, but hey, this was a good pick. I'm happy with it.
Oh, yeah. And speaking of, by the way, this draft obviously is not over. It kicks off again at 1 o'clock today with rounds 2 through 10. There's a lot of good talent still on this board. A lot of talent that some people, especially if you like didn't really watch college baseball that much, you'd know the names just because of probably hearing about them 5 or 6 months ago that have fallen down boards, like a Jude Fabian, an outfielder from Florida, Jaden Hill, who I actually talked about like 3 months ago as a potential guy that could be there with Rocker and Leiter in the top 4 or 5. He's still here. Ethan Wilson from South Alabama. Who are some guys that you're looking at as far as who the Pirates could go with at 37?
Well, the reason that there's talents like that available is partially because some of the talents that I and my guys were looking at for the comp pick, like Gavin Williams, ended up going in the first round. So, you know, we've got some kind of sideline guys that we're interested in, like Gage Jump, left-handed pitcher out of Sierra Catholic. We really like what we see from him. Velocity's plus-plus. The shape on his breaking stuff is just sick. Lonnie White is an outfielder out of Malvern Prep in Pennsylvania. I mean, 367, you know, he's got crazy power, big frame, looks like you could build on it. Before we knew they were going to get Davis, you know, one of the people we were looking at most strongly was Joe Mack, catcher out of Williamsville, New York. So, you know, there's an awful lot of players available. They're going to get another 2 or 3 really, really good prospects out of this today.
Yeah. So, and that was one thing that I was looking at as well, is whenever I did like my own little mock, like the first couple rounds, I of course thought they were going to take Meyer as well. And a guy I thought that they would look at this point, if they didn't take Henry Davis, was Adrian Del Castillo from Miami. He's another college catcher who is regarded as one of the catchers in the draft. Obviously, I don't think they're going to go that route now.
You'll remember about 6 months ago, there was a lot of people putting him up in the top of the draft.
Yep.
Period. So obviously something happened there that people didn't like what they saw, because he completely fell off the board. And I think, Pirates definitely aren't going to be picking a catcher.
Yeah, I don't think they go today. Back. That'd be very interesting. That'd be a very interesting strategy, Cotton. Let's see how it pays off for them by just drafting catchers the entire draft. see how that works. But then it's even better, like, with just looking at the amount of talent that's still here. I mean, if you look at MLB.com's rankings at the moment, a good portion of the top 50 guys in the draft that they had are still here, like a very good portion. I mean, you still have Salameto, who's the 17th ranked guy. Will Taylor is the 20th ranked guy. A lot of people expected him to go a lot earlier than he did. So who would be like the fit you would like the most for the Pirates at 37? I think it's pick 37. I keep getting confused with all the comp picks. I'm like, I don't know what number it is. I just know we have a comp pick and then we have a second round pick.
I mean, there's a few outfielders that I'm pretty interested in. Lonnie White is probably my top guy, just from what I've looked at. I like him quite a bit. That said, some of the options you just tossed out, I didn't think they'd still be here. So Ben Charrington said that was one of the best things about being in number one position is that every single day of the draft, they get to sit there at night and reset their board completely, come back in and do what they want. They set the tone for the entire thing, so they'll get who they want. I'd like them to target, like, another bat, try to get another outfielder, but I could just as easily see them go almost straight pitching the rest of the time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We'll see.
I mean, is it? That's what he did last year, correct? He took Nick Gonzalez seventh overall and then drafted four pitchers, if I'm
right. Much shorter draft, so, you know, I don't think that it'll be all pitchers, but I do think it'll be pitcher heavy. Be kind of crazy to not get a pitcher with either your comp pick or your number two pick today. So there's at least going to be one out of the next two picks, I would say, that'll be a pitcher.
Bet Online is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Baseball season is in full swing and you can track all the action at Bet Online. Get all the latest news, odds, and info for all your sporting needs, including MLB, NBA, NHL, and all your UFC MMA action. Before the next pitch, head over to Bet Online on your laptop or mobile device and check out all the great sporting news, sign-up bonuses, and contest information. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore, as this is your chance to get into the game as teams prep for their runs to the playoffs. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and use the promo code LOCKEDON for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet Online, your online sportsbook experts. Awesome. And one thing I've also heard about Henry Davis, going back to him, is he's going to be probably available major league-wise a lot earlier than those high school shortstops, just based on having collegiate experience and age. What would be like the – I know this is probably tough to ask considering he hasn't even stepped on a field yet, but is there like a realistic timeline for him already to be a major league baseball player? Like, is there an ETA that's kind of been put out there for him already?
I mean, if you look on, if you look at the ETAs that typically get put up on like FanGraphs and whatnot, you'll see 23.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really buy into those all that much. Like, for instance, a lot of people thought Nick Gonzalez would be starting level by 22. Well, look, he got an injury. He's probably not going to get his promotion to AAA this year. If he does, it's going to be for a cup of coffee. Is he still kind of on schedule for 20? I guess he could be, but he probably isn't, you know?
Mm-hmm.
23, 24, somewhere in there, you could realistically think Henry Davis could make an impact. But if you got Jacob Stallings and he's doing okay, I'd want them to overlap a little bit. So to me, I think 23, 24 is important just to get Davis with Stallings a little bit.
Yeah, and I was going to ask you, like, what this means for Jacob Stallings in the long run as well, because he's not been playing bad this year at all. His bat has been a little bit better than it normally is. And, I mean, realistically, he's one of the better defensive catchers in baseball. So I agree with you 100%. I'd love, like, maybe in the final year of Stallings' contract, let Henry Davis learn from him, because if he can learn even more defensively from Jacob Stallings and bring the bat along with it, you're talking about a really good catcher here. Now, of course, the last catcher that I believe that was drafted high was Adley Rutschman. So is there really any comparison between those two, or is it just kind of both of them were really good catchers in their own right, and that's why they've got drafted the way they did.
I don't think there's too much of a comparison there. The MLB comps I've heard are players like Napoli and Veritek, and, you know, those are just people tossing out things based on body types and whatnot. But I think he has a chance to be a good, solid starting catcher. And once you get into the league, it's kind of up to you what you develop into. I think he has the tools to be a solid starter that hits about 280 and can pop 20, 25 home runs. And, man, that's a great starting catcher. We haven't had anything like that. Like, think back in Pirates history.
Really, the last really good catcher that they had was Jason Kendall.
Yeah, and how many home runs was he hitting?
Not too many, right?
Right. I mean, so when's the last time we had a catcher that could literally play in the heart of the lineup? Like, really? Not Russell Martin. He was hitting 220, you know, and hitting like 10 home runs.
Not Francisco Cervelli either. Don't worry. Not
exactly.
What was his nickname now? Now I'm stuck on this. I can't remember. Like, oh, Lord. He had a really cool nickname. It was an Italian nickname that we coined with him.
I know that he always played the one Italian song. I can't remember.
Yeah, I know. Now we're like getting off track. My bad. But anyways, so now to what has been done here. Obviously, you pick up Henry Davis. It's now July 12th, so we still have plenty of time before July 31st. I think some people also lost in translation that the Pirates picked this guy, Henry Davis. He's probably going to go top five at least in their prospect pool, I would think.
I think he'll probably be number one or two.
Yeah, so and like not even adding to that, Adam Frazier's still probably getting traded at some point, which you're going to probably add some decent talent from that. Richard Rodriguez now, even with Craig Kimbrell joining the trade market, is still probably going to get traded at some point. I mean, the Pirates farm system has a real shot to me of being the number one farm system in baseball going into 2022, if everything falls correctly.
It should. It really should, because, I mean, Tampa's not drafting as high this year, and they're going to graduate a couple players, you know, that are going to drop them down. San Diego, I actually think some of their top prospects are kind of falling down the board a little bit, like Gore. So we'll see what happens there. But the Pirates should be the number one system, I would think. And that's great, as long as they actually develop them and bring them up. We've had that before, and really and truly, it didn't pan out. A lot of those players didn't make it. And that's always a concern. So, I mean, it's a great thing to be rated high, but you need to keep stacking prospects so that when the time comes, you have room for error.
Yep. And I think that's what the trades that he makes this month are definitely going to be able to do, because, I mean, when you already have a farm system that's ranked this high, and you're also, as you always like to bring up too, get a lot of quantity, because as you said, you can't just bet on one guy in your system to be good. So maybe if you add more pitching talent or more bat talent or however he wants to do it, you can trade some of those guys for MLB ready talent when, as you said, when they're ready, and the guys that you think are good or you know are good based on their development, you can use them as well. It's better to me when I look at farm systems, I always think it's better to have quantity in quality, if that makes sense. Because sometimes I notice the teams, they'll build around one guy, and then that one guy doesn't pan out, and then it just all goes like all over the place.
I mean, I think in the past, things like that have plagued the Pirates. You know, they draft somebody like Will Craig. He's going to be their number one starting first baseman. They're super excited about it. They transfer him over there. They spend all their training time on him. And then he just can't get over the hump to make it into major league. And now, you know, he's exploring options in Asia.
Yeah.
And, I've heard about that. And the Pirates are happily letting him, because they're probably going to cut him anyway.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's the way it is. Even Cole Tucker, you know, he's somebody they drafted a long time ago, spent a lot of time trying to work on things with him. And he can't even get at bats in the major leagues. You got an international signing like Rodolfo Castro comes up here. He's lightning in a bottle. Yesterday.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I was just about to bring up Rodolfo Castro. I mean, I think it was Jason Mackey, and I have to bring this up just because I thought it was very interesting. He was like, there's really a very hard decision to make on Castro, especially when some of these guys that are injured come back healthy. But the way he's playing right now, you have to keep him on the roster, right? I mean, there's no way that you like really send him down with the way he's playing as of right now.
I'm a terrible person to ask because before the season, I wanted him to make it out of spring. And anybody that follows me at all knows that I've thought Rodolfo Castro was the most evolved prospect in the entire system.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that was shocking to me. They put him at AA, to be honest. I thought he was that far along. And if he goes back down, I think it'll be to AAA, and I think it'll be just so he can keep his bat going.
Yeah,
because they don't go on break when the Major League Baseball teams do for the All-Star break this year.
Mm-hmm.
I would hope that he doesn't stay down there very long, and I would hope he gets a shot to be the replacement for Adam Frazier. He slots right in there at the top of the lineup, and I really hope he gets a shot. I do.
Yeah, and the funny scenario I was bringing up was keeping Rodolfo Castro at third. This is from Jason Mackey, by the way. This isn't me, but I.
Oh, and moving Hayes to short. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. He was like, move Hayes to short, Newman to second, and Castro at third. I was like, but can't Castro play second? Like, he pretty much could slot in anywhere in the infield, right?
Castro can play short. I mean, he hasn't this year, but that's because they have another guy they're trying to cultivate down there playing short, right? So, yep. Thing about Castro that's really exciting. He can play third, short, second, either of the corner outfields. I bet he could play first if they wanted him to. And he plays them all well. It's not like he's just a body. He can play those positions and really well. So I like him as a guy that's just in the lineup every day and goes wherever you need him that day. And a switch hitter, man, versatility that this team badly loves and needs.
Yeah, and I mean, I totally agree as well. And it's also nicer to have a guy like Rodolfo Castro in the lineup rather than Wilmer Defoe or Eric Gonzalez, who are like, no offense to either of them, but when you're looking at a team that needs to find pieces that have very high upside, as of right now, and obviously you thought at the beginning of the year, it looks like Castro has some good upside. Like, I mean, if he can hit it, like I said, if he hits the baseball like this every day, there's no reason for you to not have him in the lineup going into every single contest. Except
when you watch it, when you watch a rebuild like this for different types of people, it can be really hard to buy into it. So when you get an opportunity to watch a young player, a 21-year-old player, come up there and just put on display what he can do, it's representative of what you're growing in the system. And it's really, really nice to have when you're trying to explain to people that better days are coming, to let them see it. I'd rather watch Rodolfo Castro strike out 8 out of 10 at bats than watch Eric Gonzalez.
Yeah.
100%. That's all there is to it.
Today's episode is brought to you by BuiltBar.com. BuiltBar.com, you know, when you talk to a Built Bar fan, they're definitely passionate about their favorite flavors. And guess what? Built Bar has a ton. Coconut, cherry, barca, raspberry, mint brownie, double chocolate, salted caramel, strawberry, orange, cookies and cream, and German chocolate. My favorite, honestly, the cookies and cream. Can't go wrong. If you haven't tried all these flavors, you can get a mixed box where you'll get 2 of each of the 9 flavors. Not only are Built Bar flavors the best tasting, but they're healthy too. 17 to 18 grams of protein, calories ranging from 130 to 180, only 4 to 5 grams of sugar, and 4 to 5 grams of net carbs. Amazing flavors, all tasty, all healthy, and they're the best protein bars on the market. Built Bar is the official protein bar of the U.S. track and field team. Offer or go to BuiltBar.com and use the promo code LOCKED15 and you'll get 15% off of your next order, meaning you could be an existing customer of Built Bar, and if you haven't taken part in this awesome offer, you can now. Again, use the promo code LOCKED15 and get 15% off at BuiltBar.com. PiratesProtein.com and enjoy the best tasting protein bars on the market. And then that leads me into my next question as well. Individually, like based on who we think is still going to be here after the deadline, which player are you looking with the most improvement, or like which player are you focused on in the second half for like a lot of their improvement?
Ke'Bryan Hayes needs to continue to fight through the league pushing back. They have figured him out right now. They really have. And I'd love to tell you that his swing's just broken down. It's the same swing that he's been using. He's not doing anything different. The league is. They're pitching him differently. And he just needs to get back to the patient approach that helped him develop into the player that we wanted him to be. Take your walks. As annoying as it is not having anybody there to drive you in, take your walks and get on base and make them come back into the zone, because right now they're not giving him anything to hit.
Yeah, and I it's a thing for a young player to learn too, and I even said this. It's nice to see Ke'Bryan Hayes hit .389 in his first 26 games or whatever he was hitting before, but he's not going to learn anything really by doing that. He has to learn now, as you said, with the league and pitchers pushing back at him, he now has to do the same thing. He has to push back. Maybe, like you said, take the walks, be more disciplined at the plate, or if they're going to pitch you high inside, which I've noticed they've been doing a lot to him lately, just formulate your swing to bang that into the left field seats when they do it to you.
I mean, 'cause a lot of his success early on was taking that slider that didn't quite slide all the way. And he was taking it to the opposite field with authority. Well, now those sliders are a full 6 inches off the plate. And the fastballs that he's getting aren't just up and in trying to get a strike in the top of the zone. They're up and in because they know he's ready to lean out there and hit that slider, right? So at some point you have to show the league that you're ready to handle that. It'll happen. I have every faith that he'll figure it out. There is almost nobody on that team that I could sit here and tell you has a better baseball brain. And he knows what he's doing and he knows what he has to do. And you can see it in game. He'll adjust throughout the number of at-bats he gets. By the time he's up the third or fourth time, he's figured out what he's doing that day and how they're trying to attack.
Oh, yeah.
Why he gets his hits late.
Oh, yeah, and it's nice to see him, too. I mean, it's nice to just see a guy like that, especially the guy that you consider the best player on the team for most intents and purposes, like for what it's worth.
I mean, that's Brian Reynolds to me.
Yeah, it's a very interesting topic of talking about Brian Reynolds and Ke'Bryan Hayes, but it's good to have both of them, though, right?
Like, very.
Can we please stop with the Brian Reynolds trade talk? Like, I'm over this. Like, I've seen it way too much now ever since we first brought it up. And I'm like so over it because no team is giving the Pirates two top 100 prospects and another prospect for Brian Reynolds.
The only reason it lives is because bloggers in other cities don't think that don't understand how rebuilds work.
Understand.
Truthfully, they just think you're going to it's a sell off indiscriminately, and it's just not.
Well, and that's what I've seen a lot lately, too, to bring up another team. Like, unfortunately, over this past weekend, Ronald Acuna is out for the year now with a torn ACL. Everybody's expecting the Braves now all of a sudden to just, like, trade Freddie Freeman and all these other good players. And I'm like, you guys realize this isn't just how this works, right? Like, you don't just offload everyone. You have to still put an MLB product on the field. You can't just trade literally everyone. Because that's
if they're not going to re-sign Freddie Freeman, they'd be fools not to trade him this year. I'll say that.
Yeah, but there are other names that were thrown into that hat that were insane. Like, they threw Ozzie Albies' name on there, and I was like,
sure,
literally,
and that's ridiculous. But without Soroka, without Acuna, without Ozuna, the Braves aren't going anywhere. They know it. Everybody knows it. So if they're not going to re-sign Freddie Freeman, then they need to trade him.
Yeah.
If they're going to re-sign him, or they have intentions to re-sign him, hold on to him. I mean, like, it's silly. But they could trade Charlie Morton.
Yeah.
You know, they could do things like that now.
And I was going to also ask you, too, now with some other news that we found out recently about the Chicago Cubs now being a seller, apparently. How does that affect the trade market for Pittsburgh with the players we're trying to move?
It depends on how seller they are. Like, I always expected them to trade Chris Bryant because, I mean, it's apparent he's not going to stay.
Yeah.
You know, I don't expect them to trade, like, Anthony Rizzo. That's the name that keeps coming up. But I think Rizzo will sign there affordably for a few years. And he knows he's damaged goods, too, with his back problem. But I think he'll just want to finish his career there. Baez is a possibility. Contreras is a possibility. Kyle Hendricks is a possibility. Kimbrel. They have any number of players that they could move. They need to start over because they just don't have pitching in their system.
Yeah.
And by the time they would buy all these players to stay on the roster, they'd still have no pitching. They'd still be what they are. So they need to go out and get some players. How many of those move? I don't know. There's pretty hefty price tags with some of those guys.
Yeah.
So is, like, for instance, is Chris Bryant really competition for Adam Frazier? No. I mean, they're a completely different class of player, and there's maybe three teams in the league that would happily take on that contract.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I mean, you look at where they're at now, too, 8 games back. I mean, even the Cardinals could now possibly do some weird stuff. There's a lot of different stuff that could go on this month, but throughout the rest of this month, especially with the Pirates, I mean, what is there really to hope for? Like, I mean, I guess Frazier getting traded for some really high prospects, like, after the draft is over.
I mean, it's hard to say you hope for that.
Yeah.
If he doesn't get traded, it's not like I would be devastated or anything.
Yeah.
To me, it's really just, does he get the return he wants for them? The only player that I think I'd be pretty upset if they didn't move would be Tyler Anderson. A lefty starter is going to bring something decent back, and they're not going to be able to re-sign him. I mean, he's proved enough that, you know, he's going to want real money next time. So the prove it contract worked for him, and the Pirates need to make it work for them now. Those kind of moves I'll keep an eye on. Richard Rodriguez, Adam Frazier, Tyler Anderson, maybe another bullpen piece like Chris Stratton is probably my top pick to go out of the bullpen. Any number of players they could move, I just don't see them doing it.
Oh, yeah. Any other comments about the MLB draft heading into round two today? Like, anything to cap it off as we finish what now? The Athletic Henry Davis hits jackpot as number one pick. There we go. either way, like, any draft stuff that you're looking forward to over the next 1 or 2 days, like any really, really big sleeper guys do you think the Pirates could take?
No, I mean, I named a couple guys that I'd like to see them take a look at, but once you get beyond round one, we saw how bad the predictions were for round one.
Yeah.
It gets even worse as you continue to keep going. So it's really just continue to stack talent, bring in players that you think can help. The biggest thing after all the draft is really just the signing period and then where they assign them. And once they assign them, who goes? Because the rosters are full.
Yeah.
So you start seeing things like Will Craig wanting to go to Asia. Well, I don't think he just woke up one day and decided he wanted to go try out in Asia. I think, you know, he probably has a pretty good idea of what the Pirates' intentions are with him. And I bet he's not alone. We'll start seeing some trades from that level as well. You'll see like a Dustin Fowler get cut. You know, players like that are probably the ones that you should look for to start clearing the way for the double A guys to move up.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be a fun rest of the month, honestly. It's going to be a really fun month. But Gary, I'm sure you have some content over there at everywhere where you do your work. So go ahead and tell everyone where they can find all that, because I've read some of it and absolutely love it.
Yeah, it's on Inside the Bucks Basement. We got a recent piece up about a lot of the guys that are due for promotions all through the system. Took a pretty detailed look there. We've got a bunch of draft stuff up. Actually, there's a really good piece by Craig about today's part. It's called Beyond the 1-1, and it's pretty good. Gives you a good breakdown of a lot of players that are available here. And we got a nice piece up about Henry Davis as well, so check it out.
Awesome. And, of course, you guys can follow me on Locked On Pirates on Twitter or at MVP underscore Ethan. And I'm going to leave you with this, Gary, because baseball is romantic. According to Hail State Stool, which is Barstool's Mississippi State account, the Giants' next home game is against the Pirates. The Giants will introduce Will Bednar in front of the home crowd with his brother in the opposing dugout.
That's pretty cool.
That is some cool stuff. Now, I'm still on the train, though, of Adam Frazier for Will Bednar. Can't happen now, but let's make it happen in the offseason if we're going to wait. We gotta get Will Bednar in there so he can pitch six good innings and his brother can come in relief in the seventh. Need to make it happen. But anyways, guys, I really appreciate you joining. As always, it's Monday. Of course, the draft kicks off again at 1 o'clock today. We're getting this up a lot earlier than I usually do because I actually bothered to wake up early this morning. So we'll be back tomorrow, probably recapping whatever the Pirates do in the earlier rounds of the second, and then we'll probably cover everything else on Wednesday as the All-Star Game and the Home Run Derby are about to kick off tonight and tomorrow. So I will catch you on the flip side tomorrow.